Amen. It is good to be back in the Lord's house. Good to be back behind the pulpit this morning. A little refreshed and a little recharged. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 2 Kings chapter 19, beginning in verse 1 through verse 7. 2 Kings 19, beginning in verse 1 through verse 7. I want to speak to you a message today on fear not the threats of the enemy. Fear not the threats of the enemy. And I believe that's God's word for us today. Fear not. Fear not those things which you see. Let me tell you, fear is a powerful thing. How many know that? How many know fear can cause health problems? Fear can cause death. Amen? Fear can make people paralyzed, if you will. I look around at our society today and I see fear gripping many people. But I refuse to let fear dictate me. I don't fear what the enemy says. What God tells us, don't fear what the enemy says. Jesus said, there ain't but one you ought to fear. That's the one that's able to kill your body and cast the soul into hell. He said, fear not man who's able to kill your body. He said, fear the one that can kill your body and cast thy soul into hell. It's talking about fearing God, fearing Him, if you will. 2 Kings 19, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Elkiam, which was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priest, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said unto him, thus said Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blaspheming. For the children are come to birth, and there is no strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, had sent to reproach the living God. And he will reprove the words which the Lord thy God had heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say to your master, thus said the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, and which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. I want to go back to verse 6 right there. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, thus said the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard. I want to speak to you on the thought this morning. Be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we honor you, dear God, and we praise you, dear Lord, for everything you've done, dear God, this morning. Lord, today we lift you up, dear God, and we just exalt you, dear God, and praise you, dear God. Lord, and we ask for your anointing, Lord, and we ask for your spirit, Lord, to flow, dear God, upon me, dear God, today, Lord. Put your words inside of me, dear God, to bring forth today, Lord. Lord, today we ask, Lord, for you to just touch, dear God, Lord, and have your anointing, Lord, and let the Spirit of God flow in this sanctuary today, God. Lord, we honor you, dear God, and we give you glory, God. We give you praise and we give you honor this morning, Lord. We lift you up and we exalt you, dear Lord, today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. One of the greatest tactics the devil likes to use is that of talk. And I'm talking about trash talk. talk. He likes to tell you what he is going to do to you. He wants those words of doubt, and he wants those things of fear to get inside of your head. I mean, remember if you ever played ball. I remember times when I played ball, and we'd like to talk trash to the other team. I remember a time when we had a church softball game when I first started preaching, and a buddy of mine had down in parts of North Carolina was playing our church, and I sent him a picture of a lawnmower mowing grass and saying, this is what's going to happen when we meet you on the ball field. Let me tell you, why did I do that? I did that to try to get into his head. I did them things just to get him distracted, and that's exactly what the enemy will do this morning. That's exactly what Satan will try to do today. He's going to use words. He's going to use his words to get you distracted. How many know he wants you distracted from the Word of God? He wants you distracted from Jesus. He wants you distracted from the promises of God. He wants you distracted from the things of God. Not only does he want you distracted, he wants you intimidated. He wants to intimidate you. Not only does he want to intimidate you, but he wants to manipulate you. And not only that, that words the enemy will use will produce fear right here. And we know the Bible tells us plainly that Satan himself is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And let me tell you, that roar is loud. Let me tell you, that roar is strong. Let me tell you, that roar is going to be heard from different places. It's going to be loud, and it's going to be talkative, and it's going to be something that someone hears. In fact, we begin to see a picture of that roar here in 2 Kings chapter 19, where we see the messenger from the king of Assyria, Rabshakeh, come with a loud roar unto Hezekiah and unto his people with loud threats what he's going to do. And we know that Hezekiah sent some to Isaiah the prophet. We seen that God, how Hezekiah would run to God. And let me tell you this morning what would begin to happen right there. Let me tell you what would begin to happen. They received a word from God on that day. They received the word back concerning the threat of the enemy. They received the word back concerning the threat of the enemy. Oh, what was that word? That word was fear not. Those things that you heard, be not afraid of the word of the enemy. What I've come by to tell you this morning, church of God, some of you been hearing death. Some of you been hearing defeat. Some of you been hearing that it ain't never going to happen. I've come by to tell you, fear not the word of the enemy this morning. I've come by to tell you that Satan is a liar this morning. He is the father of all lies this morning. But yet people are dictated by fear. And that fear is a tactic that the enemy will use. And look at our world today. Look how fear has gripped the lives of people. Look how the news media. Here's a grip. Look how the news media and some government agencies are propagating fear this morning. They are. I got news for you. Everything you hear on CNN, Fox, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, or whatever other channel there is like that, most of it's inaccurate. Amen? Let me give you an example. How many know some of these numbers for the COVID-19 have been exaggerated? And that's a proven fact. It is a proven fact. that the numbers have been exaggerated, especially among the death counts and stuff like that. If somebody would die of a heart attack, they would contribute it to COVID-19 because they receive more money from the federal government. But people today are, you'll see how the news agencies, you'll see how these media outlets are propagating fear today. And fear is gripping the lives of many today. Many are afraid to leave their homes. Many are afraid to do anything because they hear what the news media is saying. I seen somebody put a post on Facebook, and I like this post. To get America calmed down, turn off the news. Hey, man. Turn off the media for a little bit. If we want things to get back to normal, turn off the media a little bit. Amen. And I believe that this morning. Because I'm telling you, Satan, the greatest, one of the greatest devils in America is our media today. Amen. How many believe that? One of the greatest tools Satan is using is the media today. My Lord, you look. The things they said against President Trump. How many to prove my point? How many know half of that, the majority of it, is a lie? Amen? How many know there wasn't no Russian collusion? Amen? But they presented it as that. Let me tell you, you can hear it through our airways. You can hear it through the television stations that is propagating fear today. They're making this thing seem like this is the apocalypse. My friend, let me tell you this morning. You think it's bad now. You ain't seen nothing until the tribulation period gets here. This is a cakewalk. And to compare to the things that are which are to come upon this earth. I'm telling you, I believe we're in that place of sorrows. The beginning of sorrows right now. But let me tell you, this is what was going on. With Hezekiah, with the land of Judah, the king of Assyria was trying to produce fear inside of them. He was trying to bring Hezekiah and the people of Judah down. He was trying to conquer them with fear. Hello? He wanted them to surrender to him. He wanted them to give in to him. How did he start it? With fear. With sending a messenger. How many know what a messenger does? Speaks the words of a king. And I can guarantee you, this messenger was loud. And he told them what was going to happen if they didn't surrender. He told them what would take place if they didn't give in to him. And he was trying to bring fear in order to bring them down. Let me tell you something, church. It hit me. I'm convinced the devil is trying to produce fear in the body of Christ. Amen. Hello. I am convinced that Satan wants the church to live in fear. Because I believe we're at the approaching of the coming of the Lord, but I also believe there could be a revival to break out. Amen? Amen. I'm not going to go onto the scale of a worldwide because I don't know. It could be. But I'm looking for God to pour His Spirit out in Houston Town. Amen? Anybody else with me? I believe in these last days, He'll pour His Spirit out upon in the latter rain upon those that want the rain. Amen. If they don't want the rain, they're going to be dry and thirsty ground. But I'll speak for this church. I want the rain. My gosh, this could be the greatest hour of the church. This could be the greatest hour of the church. This could be the last hour for the last harvest to come in. Amen. Somebody said, why ain't Jesus come? Because I said, there's still a harvest out there. Amen. When it's done, He's a-coming. Amen. But I'm telling you right now, Satan wants the church to be bound in fear. Satan wants the body of Christ to be bound in fear. Well, I got news for you this morning. I don't have to be afraid of the words of the enemy this morning. I don't have to be afraid of what he's trying to say he's going to do. Why? Because God says, be not afraid of the words that you have heard. Be not afraid of the words that he has spoken this morning. Hey, you many in here have heard the words of the enemy that he's going to destroy you. He's going to take you down. He's going to destroy your health. Things are never going to get better. Let me tell you, sometimes it may seem like he's won. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I was in a time for years when it seemed like the devil had won. I'll be honest with you. Anybody with me? Anybody else experienced that? Let me tell you, the only way he would have won is if I would have put my hands down. Amen? But it seemed like nothing was changing for years and years. And all of a sudden, in just a moment's time, God turned it around. Let me tell you today, if you don't give up, the devil ain't going to win this morning. Amen? If you don't give up, the devil ain't going to win this morning. How many know that today? See, I want you to know today that Satan is propagating fear. And I want you to know today that Satan is trying to destroy you. He's trying to destroy your life. But I've come by to tell you this morning that I've heard from heaven, be not afraid of the words of the enemy. I said, be not afraid of the words of the enemy. Let me tell you, the enemy may come in, but Isaiah 59 and 19 says that when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. My gosh, let me tell you, despite what the enemy may threaten with you today, you don't have to fear. Did you hear me? Despite what you're going through, you don't have to fear this morning. Why? Let me tell you, because God is for you this morning. Did you hear me? How many children of God we got in here this morning? If you're a child of God, can I tell you that God is for you? Amen. You see, the king of Assyria didn't realize one thing right here. His messenger didn't realize one thing. Didn't understand this principle that when Hezekiah and Judah, They didn't have the arm of flesh. They had the arm of God. In this passage of Scripture, you'll see that, yes, the king of Assyria was mighty. Yes, he had mighty men. They were bigger and they had a greater military force and had not lost a battle. If you'll read it, you'll find out the king of Assyria would say, oh, we went up against these other gods, nations that had gods, but they had never encountered the true and living God. You see, the problem was the living God was fighting for the hand of Judah, was fighting for Judah. He was on the side of Hezekiah. And I want you to know this morning, the devil has not thought how God is for you this morning. The Bible tells us in Romans 8 and 31, what shall we say then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? See, the king of Assyria didn't realize this. He missed it. He didn't believe. He thought he was mighty. He thought he had everything. He had the arm of flesh. But yet, even though his arm of flesh was mighty in the sense of the natural, Judah and Hezekiah had something far greater. They had the hand of God with them. The right hand of God was with them. You know, in the Scripture, the Bible talks about the right hand of God. How many know that? The right hand of God symbolizes the power of God.
It does. The right hand of God in the scripture symbolizes the power of God. And you can find out in Exodus 15 and 6, thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, had dashed in pieces the enemy. The New American Standard Version translates it like this. Your right hand is majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In Psalms 89 and 13, thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. You see, Pharaoh and his army found themselves under the right hand of God. And you'll find out that Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, would find himself under the hand of God, would find himself dashed into pieces when it's all said and over with. You see, right now, we think this world's going crazy. Many of the devils think they have won. Well, let me tell you, the devil has not won. Amen? I said the devil has not won. How do I know? Because the book already told me what's going to happen when it's all said and done. How many know they're going to line the bodies up? I forget how deep, but it's going to be a deep body when it's all said and done. Satan's going to be cast into the lake of fire. My Lord, the devil ain't going to win. God's going to crash it into pieces. Amen? He's going to destroy the enemy that comes our way. You see, in Psalms 138 and 7, the Bible says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. In other words, your power shall save me. This is why they didn't have to be afraid. This is why they didn't have to be afraid of what the king of Assyria said he was going to do. Because the right hand of God was going to be there to crush them. And I'm telling you this morning, despite what the enemy may say he's going to do in your life, despite what Satan is trying to do inside of your life this morning, despite the battle you are going through, despite the fight that is happening, I want you to know you don't have to fear what the enemy's saying. But people are feared what the enemy is saying. They're raising the white tail. Amen. Amen. God's looking for warriors. I'm going to tell on myself a little bit. Down in Pigeon Forge this week, I went after somebody because they come knocking on my door at 12:30 in the morning just to wake me up. I let it go one time, but I was going to confront them the second time because there ain't no sense in that as a joke, especially if I don't know them. I told the hotel manager, if you can't get them, I will. I was going to either call the Pigeon Forge police or I was going to start preaching. Probably both. They stopped it. But I'm telling you, we've got to be warriors. Amen. Amen. In this day, I can't sit back and be silent. I don't fear what they say they're going to do to me. They probably, people said they was going to kill me a long time ago. But can I tell you, I'm still standing. Even before I was called to preach, before I was saved, somebody told her Satan would try to kill me. He did. But guess what? I'm still standing. Amen. Let me tell you this morning, church, you don't have to fear what the devil says he's going to do. Amen. I don't care what the devil says he's going to do. The devil may say he's going to shut this church down, but God say, I may multiply where you got to build a new one. Amen. Amen. The devil says you ain't going to see no more souls harvested. Well, God says you're going to see the greatest impact the souls this church has ever seen. My God, can you hear me? God, the devil may tell you that God's not going to heal you, but I've come by to tell you when you least expect it, that's when God can heal. Don't you fear the devil this morning. Believe the report of God. My God, I feel like preaching. Feel good to jump on that pew again. Even though my voice is about gone. But I'm telling you, Satan's a liar this morning. Satan's a liar this morning. How many is going to believe a liar? I don't. Amen. If somebody, I got family members, you know exactly who I'm talking about. They got a, I don't believe nothing comes from this young, my sister. No, my half sister. I got a half sister. I'll just tell you, I don't care. You don't know when she's telling the truth. The reason we ain't probably talked is because I told her one time, don't bring it around me. That ain't what you're going to do. You're going to do the opposite. I know her. Be hard. Be like that little story, the boy that cried wolf. After three times, how many know when the wolf did come, somebody didn't believe him? Amen. Amen. Let me tell you, Satan's a liar. He's never spoken truth. He can give a half truth, but what's the rest of it? A lie. What does that make a lie? But people are believing the lie of what Satan's going to do. People are believing in fear. What Satan's going to do, they're living bound by fear because they really ain't got their faith in the Word of God. They're living by fear. How many know if you're in fear, you can't live by faith? Fear and faith are the two opposites of the spectrum. Where there's an absence of faith, fear is always in. Where there's faith, fear is not there. See, God was telling them through Isaiah the prophet that you don't have to fear what you heard they was doing, the blasphemous words against God himself. He already heard what they said he was going to do. God already told them what it was going to happen to them. He said right there, I'll cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. That's what's going to happen to the king of Assyria. God already told him the outcome. He's going to fall by the king, the sword in his own land. See, but let me tell you, that devil's going to taunt you. How many know that? That devil's going to taunt you. He's going to try to discourage you. He's going to try to produce fear. One of the greatest examples I see of this is found in 1 Samuel 17, the story of David and Goliath. How many know that Goliath taunted David? He told David, I'm going to rent you into pieces. He laughed at David. Mocked David. But 1 Samuel 17 and 47 says, and all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Despite this old ugly giant talking his trash, despite him telling what he said, David's reply was, God's going to put it you in my hands. Some of you need to say, God's going to put the enemy in my hands this morning. That thing you're battling, that thing you're in, God's going to put you in my hands. He said, yeah, the giant was bigger than David. How many know Goliath was bigger than David? My Lord, if we would look at it in the natural, it would have been like me going up against Andre the Giant or something bigger. But David would not back down. The giant was big, but David was not intimidated. I'm thinking I'm probably going to put this on the sign this week. A man that will kneel before God is a man that can stand before any man. Hello, how many know I'm right about that? If you kneel before God, you can stand before any man this morning. Listen, David was a man who kneeled before God as a shepherd boy. He went while the armies of Israel were listening to the taunt of the Philistines, listening to the chants. David would not listen to that garbage. He knew what God was going to do. He knew God would give him the victory. He knew that God was going to deliver that enemy into his hands. But let me remind you how he knew it. He knew it from his time of being a shepherd. How did he know it? Because before he got there, before he got to Goliath, he had to kill a bear and a lion. Amen. Every time I see a bear, I think about David. Thinking about trying to jump on that thing. Went looking for some Monday, but I didn't see the day before they were 30 seed last Monday. But what I'm trying to tell you is, he knew that God give him the small victories, that God would give him the big victory. The bear and the lion wasn't as big as the giant. But what he learned there was God would put the victory in his hand. So when the Goliath was a-taunting, when Goliath was running his mouth saying what he was going to do, I could see David now, yeah. See him now, like this, yeah. Hear me out, big boy. Hear my, yeah, go ahead and run it. I can see David now, just sitting there, yeah. We'll see. Most people would have been running. Most people would have, please, 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 please. David was there, yeah. Then David looked at him and said, you're going to find out God ain't going to deliver with a sword and a spear, but you're going to find out that God's going to deliver you into my hand. That's what I'm talking about. He knew what God was going to do. He knew the battle was God's. Hey, man, he knew the battle was God's. Some of you need to understand the battle you're in is not a battle for you, but the battle is the Lord's. Don't you be afraid of what the enemy's going to do. Notice the Lord told Isaiah, he heard the words that they had spoken against him. He heard the words that the king of Assyria had said against him. They were blaspheming words. God was going to take his hat. God was going to show him. I'll get there here in a minute. But I'm going to tell America something today. You want lawlessness? Let me tell you something. God is a God of law and order. How many believe that? Amen. For those, I'm just going to call them what they are this morning. You get mad, you get offended, well, get over it. But these stupid, ignorant politicians and people that are calling for the removal of the police department, you better understand that God established law and order. Amen? That is not just an attack upon our police officers, but it is an attack upon the laws of God. It is. You want lawlessness? You want people to plunder and riot, steal, burn things down? Let me tell them people something that are doing that. You're ignorant. You're of the devil. Don't be telling me how much you love Jesus and you're out there blowing things up, rioting, stealing, and stuff like that, coming against the police. I seen in Atlanta where they tried last night. They burnt Wendy's down in Atlanta, in part of Atlanta, because a policeman was trying to do his job with a drunk man. that took his taser and tried to tase him with it. You're nothing but lawless anarchist. And it reminds me of what the book of Judges did. When there was no king in Israel, this is how it ended. When there was no king in Israel, the people did that which was right in their own eyes. But I got news for you. God's going to step in. If you don't like the laws now, wait till he rules with a rod of iron. Wait till the tribulation comes. Well, he'll rule after the tribulation. But I'm telling them, God's a God of law and order. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. And I realize there's good and bad in every crowd. Amen. Let me tell you, there's good white people and there's bad white people. There's good black people and there's bad black people. There's good yellow people and there's bad yellow people. There's good churches and there's bad churches. There's good preachers and there's bad preachers. Amen. Let me tell you, but that ain't a reason because of a few bad apples trying to blow things up. I'm calling it out. I hope they hear it. You want my address? 1291 North Clear Ridge Road, Houstontown, Pennsylvania. When you got the anointing on you, you won't back down from nobody. That's the honest truth. But I'm telling you, God's going to fight this battle. These people are going to answer to God. Because the attack on law, God established it. Romans 13, I believe that's the chapter. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. I've always said it like this. If I ain't doing nothing wrong, I ain't going to have no trouble with the police department. Most of the time. There are some few exceptions. I will say that. But the majority of the time, if you do what you're told, you ain't going to have a problem. Hey, man, it's the same thing. Like I tell you around here, if you do what I ask you to do, we ain't going to have your problem. But if you start doing what I do, we may have a problem. But no, God established law. If I do, I got rules to abide by in the church of God. I got to report every month. Church has to report every month. If I don't, I can be stripped of my license and be kicked out. That's the way it is. There's rules and regulation God established. But we need to understand this morning that we're in a battle. You're in a battle in your own lives. But you need to understand you don't have to be afraid of the words of the enemy. You can stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord and realize this battle is God's. See, Jehoshaphat faced a threat of his own. And he's received these words from the prophet Jezreel in 2 Chronicles 20 and 15. And he said, hearken ye all Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thou King Jehoshaphat, thus said the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours. But God's. Today, I want to tell you, you don't have to fear the threats of the enemy. I know that there's some under my voice somewhere that may be facing these great threats. And the enemy may be attacking. And he may be telling you what he's going to do. But I've declared to you this morning that the enemy is a liar. Let me tell you, I could tell you, let me tell you, if he could have done what he said he was going to do, he would have done it on day one. Amen? You don't believe he's got restraints on how far he can go? Read the book of Job. Read what God told Satan. You can touch this, you can touch that, but God told Satan there's one thing you cannot touch, and that was what? His life. But let me tell you what I do know. If Satan could have touched it from day one, he would have touched it from day one. But God said, you can't touch his life. So there's boundaries there. But let me tell you, you don't have to fear the enemy. The enemy's a liar this morning. How many say fear's a liar this morning? Fear's a liar this morning. Somebody needs to get it. Fear is a liar this morning. Fear is going to cause you harm. It's going to put stress on your body. It's going to cause you to be sick. Fear will make somebody literally sick. Let me tell you, I've seen people literally die of fear before. Stress. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Hey, man, it can do that to you. What we got to do this morning, what I'm telling you today is put the battle in the Lord's hands. Hear God. Too often, we lay it before God. Then we take it out with us. We pick it up and take it out. God wants us to give it to Him. Lay it to Him and don't worry about it. He's got the battle this morning. See, I want you to know today that the Lord wants to fight your battle. I want you to know this morning that God wants to fight your battle. Somebody needs to say, God wants to fight my battle. Somebody needs to say, God wants to fight my battle this morning. How do I know that? Because Exodus 15 and 3 says, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. One of the names of God is Jehovah Sabaoth, which means Lord of hosts. That means Lord of armies. A title used 285 times at least in the Old Testament alone. What does it mean to fight the battle? It means the Lord of armies means He's ready to go to war. Martin Luther wrote in his Reformation hymn, a mighty fortress is our God. He wrote this, did we strive in our own strength, confide, or striving would be losing. We're not the right band on our side. Don't ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth is His name from age to age, the same. And He must win the battle. Let me tell you, if there is an enemy, there is a world. In this world, we got an enemy called Satan. Sin and evil are hateful to God. And if they are hateful to God, then God must wage war against it. How many know God's waging war against it? Amen? Wisherby, Warren Wisherby said, the Lord will march out like a mighty man, like a warrior. He will stir up His zeal with a shout. He will raise the battle cry, and He will triumph over His enemies. Jesus Christ is both the Lamb who died for our sins and the Lord and the Lion who judges sin. Wisterby said those words. What are you trying to tell me this morning? Well, throughout Scripture, I see the Lord going to battle for His people. You don't see it, but there's a war raging. Daniel, I believe Daniel chapter 10 points it out. When Daniel prayed his prayer, it was heard from day one, but there was 21 days of delay. Why? Because there was a war going on to try to stop the hindrance of it. And I'm convinced this morning that's the reason some ain't seen the answer. The warfare. It's been heard since day one. How many know God hears your prayers on day one? But sometimes there's a war that goes over it. Like with Daniel. You don't see the war. But I can tell you, there's a war raging. Look at our world right now. There's a war that is raging. You can't tell me there's not something going on in the spiritual right now. If you don't think there's not nothing going on in the spiritual, you can't tell me. For those that know, you can't tell me what's causing people to do this stuff ain't of the devil. I'm about ready to say something right now. Some of these adults over cartoons. You can't tell me those that's crying and pouting over Paw Patrol and Yosemite Sam and Elmer Fudd. That stupidity ain't nothing more of the devil. Am I right on that? I got bigger things. Well, he carried a gun. I watched it when I was little. Didn't mean I was going out there to shoot somebody. I knew it was a cartoon. I'm just telling you, this is a war we're in. This is a battle right now, what we see raging right now. You, some of you got personal battles. We all got personal battles that we're going through right now. Some of us has been going through them for longer than others. There's things that you don't even know I've faced. I've faced them for years, but I still get up here and preach. There's things I won't see God do. Not seen it yet. 5 years I wanted to see this place packed out. I ain't seen it yet. But I can tell you it's going to happen. Amen? Amen? Anybody else with me on that this morning? We've seen a lot. And I know you can get 100 in here. I've seen it twice. I've seen it twice. I'm going to have to motivate you somehow. May have to tell everybody Patty's getting and Jazz is getting on the roof. No, we're going to see it throughout Scripture. God will fight the battle for His people. But we've got to commit it to Him. One of the hardest things to do is to get out of the way and let God fight it. How many know I'm right? Believe that this morning? Because we like to keep ourselves in it to know what's going on. See, when I see the Lord fighting a battle, the common theme is God tells them, put it in my hands. Let me fight this battle. Just to emphasize, as we see Hezekiah taking his problem to the man of God to take it to the prophet Isaiah. Jazz, you can get Marcy. It was Jehoshaphat who come under the threat of that great multitude in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Where did he run to? He run to the house of God. What was they doing there? In other words, they were putting the battle into the hands of God. Let me tell you what the Lord told them to do. In 2 Chronicles 20, don't you take no armed men. What he did is says, take you praisers and take you worshipers and go marching and praising. As they went marching and praising, God was setting ambushments for an enemy. When they got there, the enemy had killed themselves. Not only did they walk out of there with victory, they walked out of there with all what the enemy had. They walked out of there with the spoil. They walked out of there with the treasure. See, what I'm telling you this morning is, we got to put it in our God's hands. We don't have to be afraid when we put something, when we put the battle into the hands of God. See, there's victory there when we put the battle in the hands of God. Where we mess up at is when we try to do it. Anybody, let me tell you, some of the greatest lessons I've learned in ministry is trying to do it my way. I remember the first message I preached. Most of them went about 10 to 15 minutes, and some of you are saying, I wished it was still 10 to 15 minutes. But I thought I was going to be Rod Parsley. God told me the greatest lesson I ever learned that day. In that one day I preached, is about 20 years ago to this day in the month of June in Thomasville, North Carolina, at a church, at Prairie Memorial Church of the Living God. I got up there. Yeah, I'm going to be. I thought I'd come in there. Yeah, here comes the next big TV evangelist right here. I did. I was falling for that stuff at the time. I'm coming to be Rod Parsley. I had my voice down. Good God.
I learned to do the voice. But I fell flat on my face that day. I fell flat on my face. And I'm glad I did. Because it learned me. I couldn't be Rod Parsley. I had to be Jimmy Dallinger. There's only one of me. We can make a clone. That's right, there's only one. I couldn't be Rod. Just think if I'd have been twins. I always say when God made me, he made one of a kind right here. That's true for everybody. Even though identical twins, there's identical twins, they're one of a kind still. But what I'm trying to tell you is the greatest lesson I learned was falling on my face that day. Not trying to do it my way, but God's way. It learned me, don't try to preach like Rod Parsley because you're not Rod Parsley. You preach like Jimmy Dallinger. I can't be Tim Hill, the Church of God General Overseer. I got to be Jimmy Dallinger. As much as I love the Swaggers, I can't be Jimmy Swaggart or Donnie Swaggart. I got to be Jimmy Dallinger. Hey, man, I learned that lesson right there. Putting it in God's hands and letting him have his way. That was the greatest lesson I learned. The most important lesson I learned in ministry. I walked out there knowing. I said, I don't know if I'm going to do this again. But then it hit me. I learned the lesson. But the Bible tells us in Exodus 14 and 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, there's that word, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will see them again, no more, forever. In other words, those that's been troubling you or chasing you, they're gone. You ain't going to see them no more. Just step back. You don't know what it means to stand still. If you're like me, I know I've been called Energizer Bunny, but it's hard for me to stand still. Somebody say I got worms or something. I've heard that before. You must have worms or something. You can't stand still. I don't know what, if you got a charge of what I got a charge of, you couldn't stand still either. I'm on springs. That's pretty, I like adding too. No, but God told him, stand still. Don't you put your hand in it, because I'm going to destroy the enemy. See, God gave them victory that day. They just had to put the battle in God's hand. He drowned the army. They didn't have to be afraid of them. God was going to drown them. Exactly what he was doing, wasn't it? It's what he did. How did the threats turn out to Judah? Well, let me tell you. It didn't turn out the way the king of Assyria had planned. What happened? He had a bunch of men. But in one night, one angel wiped out 185,000 men. The king of Assyria, he ended up dying later on. We can read that later on. But what I'm trying to tell you is, God's plan come to fruition. What he told them right there in verse 7. Verse 6 first. Be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard. Verse 7 he said, I'll send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor. And he shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. How many know that's exactly what happened? And what I'm coming by to tell you, Marcia, as you get ready to play, is don't you fear the threat of the enemy. Satan's lying to somebody under here. My voice. He's putting fear into somebody. I don't know, it may be more than one. But I've come by to tell you what God told me to tell somebody. Don't you be afraid of the enemy. Don't be afraid of the things that you're hearing. There's probably many people
There was a message, I believe it was at Franklin Church of God, wasn't it? That was given out in tongues and interpretations about not fearing, but believing God. That's what God was telling them right here. Don't be afraid. Of what you're hearing, what they're going to do. He said, I'm with you. I'm your protection. I'm your defender. I'm your shield. I'm your warrior. That's what God is to you this morning. How many children of God is in here? If you're a child of God, that's what He is to you this morning. I tell you, like my little girl, she's got me around a string. There's no doubt about that. She's got me around the string. She gets what she wants from daddy. She knows it. She knows it. I'm wrapped around her. Because I'll provide for her if I got to take away from myself. If it comes down to me eating or her eating, I'm going to let her eat. Her having clothes or me having clothes, she's going to get the clothes. Somebody... Lord, hold somebody, be mean to her, because daddy may be in Pennsylvania, but he knows the way down. I'm going to protect her in all ways. I told her last night, there's not a day goes by that I don't call her out in prayer. She said, pray for my rest of my family too. From a 7-year-old, 6-year-old, she'll be 7 in December. Golly. I was thinking, I'm just 7 years away from 50. I'll be a senior. I'll start getting discounts. I'm a while from that. Because why? I'm her father. And as a father, as a parent, I got an obligation to her before I got an obligation to the church. How many know that? I got an obligation to take care of her before I got an obligation to take care of you. It may not set good with some, but it's true. God established the church, the family, before He did the church. How many know that? Amen? I've got to lead her in the ways of God. I've got to take care of her. It's what God expects. He entrusted me with that gift. And see, I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says a man don't provide for his own household is worser than an infidel. I'm sorry, but I don't like deadbeat dads or moms. That gets under my skin. If you have a child, I hope you would take care of that child. Because here's where I'm going with this. Just like I would do that for Faith, I'm limited what I can do for her. I don't own all the cattle on the hill, but my father does. I can't be in all places at one time, but he can. I can't, when she's sick, I can't take away the sickness like I'd like to. There's been times I asked God to put it on me instead of her. I said, I'm tough enough to, old enough I can handle it, I think. But let me tell you, but my father can. And if we're his child, just the way I treat my child, if we know how to give good gifts, then how much more does our Heavenly Father know how to give? Ain't that what the Scripture says? What I'm telling you this morning, just like we defend our children, God is going to defend His children. Amen? Sometimes we don't understand the way God works. Why does God work this way? There's things that's a mystery to me. I don't know. I don't understand. I'm going to ask Him one day. Nothing wrong with that. It ain't that we just wonder. There's things I wonder. But I also know that He's faithful. Sometimes he don't come through when I'm expecting him to, but he still comes through right on time. When he's 4 days late, it's still right on time. I remember a time, I told you many times, I told you I can't shut up this morning. I told you I can't shut up. Give me just a few more minutes. I seen it down there. God, I prayed over the finances down at Robbinsville many times. God, when are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? It looked bad times down there. Everything was out of shape. No money getting nothing fixed. Except it was broke. Church had debts. It's in the red. God, I prayed. There's times I pray, God, when you coming through? I know he's faithful. But there's times preacher sweated. Anybody else with me? I sweated. But one night, this is how it come through. In an act of obedience. One act of obedience brought everything in the past. When God told me, have revival. But God, I don't have nothing in the account to pay nobody. Have revival. Okay, God, he told me who to get. And those that I got, when it was said and done, let me tell you how God blessed. Church got paid off. Bills were took care of. The septic tanks were pumped, fixed. Gravel put in a driveway. Concrete pulled up the mountain there to get into the church. A lot more for the next through the winter covered in our bills. And plus some for the preacher. That's the faithfulness of God just by one act of obedience. Another time, I've told you many times, but I want to tell you how God comes through. It looked bad. It was winter. The gas tank was out, broke again. Nobody was going to be there that morning because everybody seemed to be at the hospital, but God said, open the church. Open the church. Lord, you didn't go in. He said, open. I went and opened it, had my Bible there. Somebody walked in, said, I want to pay my tithes. I said, it can't be maybe $50 to $100, maybe a couple hundred. When I opened that envelope after they left, not one, not two, not even 10, but 28 $100 bills. All by the act of obedience. That's God coming through. I want you to know God's going to come through for you this morning. He'll be right on time. No, it didn't come when I needed it, it didn't seem like, but it come right on time. It may have been late, but it still come. To me, it was late, but it still come. I said, but it's on time. Amen? Amen? They thought he was late for Lazarus, but he was still right on time. He knew exactly what he was doing. And you can stand in here this morning. I got to shut up. God wants to fight your battle this morning. God wants to fight your battle this morning. Somebody, you lit it right there where you're at, or you can come to this altar. You need to quit fearing. The Lord says, fear not. Be not afraid, for I'm with you this morning. 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 God, I'm putting it in your hands. God, help me to leave it there this morning. God, help me to leave it there this morning. Fear is a liar. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.